not all people are, let's say, agreeing with such satirical cartoons, but they all agree for freedom of expression.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Backstory. I'm Dana Lewis. French President Macron has vowed to crack down on radical Muslims after several attacks in France. A school teacher, Samuel Paty, was recently beheaded for showing children cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad and talking to them about free speech. A Muslim man who carried out the attack was later shot by the police. Then in Nice, a woman was decapitated and two others have been killed during a knife attack inside the Notre Dame Basilica Church. The mayor of Nice said the Islamo-fascist assailant didn't stop shouting Allahu Akbar even under medication after being shot and arrested. Countries have condemned France for arresting dozens of Muslims. Some have called for boycotts of French goods. Turkey's President Erdogan made an explosive speech saying Macron needs some sort of mental treatment. What else is there to say about a head of state who doesn't believe in freedom of religion and behaves this way against millions of people of different faiths living in his own country? He said. France condemned Erdogan's remarks and recalled its ambassador. The French foreign minister denounced the, quote, hateful and slanderous propaganda against France, unquote. And he accused Turkey of, quote, showing a wish to fan hate against and among us, unquote. And then a few days later, after Erdogan's comments, in Vienna, Austria, 22 injured with knife and gunshot wounds and 4 killed. A member of ISIS is shot dead by police 9 minutes into his attack. And as I speak to you from London, the government here has raised its security alert to the highest level, warning attacks here are likely. Okay, just a little more background. In case you don't know, these satirical cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad published in the Charlie Hebdo magazine in France also sparked attacks in 2015. They left 17 dead. The 3 gunmen in 2 attacks were shot by the police. As a TV correspondent, I covered those attacks, and the nation rallied around Charlie Hebdo in support of free speech. But this time, it's a bit different. In this backstory, we talk to an expert on secularism in France and why this is a free speech issue, and Giudicelli. And later, Rokhaya Diallo. She is a Muslim commentator on discrimination who says French Muslims are being treated unfairly and that the French government, while dealing with terror, also has to be more measured to Muslims who make up 9% of France's population. Both interviews, honestly, incredibly insightful to understand the different forces at work in France and the backstory behind the headlines. All right, Anne Giudicelli runs the International Intelligence Cluster, and she consults on security issues, and she joins me now from Paris. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
I sort of make a practice of asking people during COVID-19 how they're doing. I mean, you are under lockdown as we speak. And we are about to go under lockdown in London yet again.
Yeah, I think it's more and more. I mean, we have more and more countries that are in our case. Well, let's see. We have a double lockdown, one which is linked to health and the other one to security, because we went through 3 attacks in 1 month, terrorist attacks. So, with a big protest, I mean, criticizing coming from the Muslim countries. So it's we have, let's say, 3 crises to handle nowadays: security, health, and diplomatic. So it's let's say it's not a holiday. Mm.
And what is the mood there like? I mean, there has been more security deployed to the street, invisible security, I understand, around churches and historic sites and that kind of thing. The army, actually, right?
Yeah, well, it's part of a system which was already existing, which is called the Vigipirate, which has been raised to the almost the highest level. That means having more security forces in the street. And it's not specific to this time, it's to this period. It's anytime there is any attack or suspicion of attack, it's much more linked to show that...
A visible deterrent.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but it's much more to, let's say, deter any willing to do something or even to reassure the people that they are in a safe situation because they can see uniforms and forces in the streets. So it's much more, for that than to really prevent terrorist attack.
I covered a lot of the terror attack in France, so I've been to Paris many times after the attacks on Charlie Hebdo and the Bataclan theater attacks, and they are some of the most bloody, shocking terror attacks that I have covered. But I mean, Bataclan theater was a horrendous event, and I'm sure people cannot forget there. And plus, all of the shootings and the cafes leading down the street towards Bataclan and. I mean, at that time, you know, there were these tremendous marches in France and through Paris, you know, Je suis Charlie, we are Charlie. And people really came out despite the publication of these cartoons and supported Charlie Hebdo. Is this different?
Well, you know, first of all, what the meaning of being Charlie, I mean, everybody can understand it differently. Being Charlie could mean being for a certain kind of freedom of expression, but being Charlie could also mean that we like those caricatures or cartoons, which is not the case of the whole people in France. So you can put a lot of understanding in that you can be Charlie, who not being Charlie, but not against Charlie, if you want. That means that we not all people are, let's say, agreeing with such satirical cartoons, but they all agree for freedom of expression. You understand the
distinction,
distinction between the two,
right? But that distinction is lost on another culture, because people who follow the Muslim faith believe that they are insulting the Prophet Muhammad. One with a bomb in his turban, another one with him crawling on the ground. They're associating the Prophet Muhammad with attacks of terror and extremism, and so to them it's insulting. And it is not freedom of expression. And yet to the French public, you have this term, and maybe you can explain it to me a little bit, and it is laïcité, which essentially means secularism.
Yeah, laïcité, yes, right. It's secular state, yeah, secularism. In fact, that means that, well, also, you see, it's very important to use the proper word, because it's not, as well as Charlie, is not understood in the same way. The laïcité or secularism is, according to who is using it or who is understanding it, it's not the same reality, you see?
No, so in what way?
Sorry?
In what way is it different, depending on who's using it?
You have a trend here that I call the laicist, like we said, the Islamist. If you take the word laic, which is for laïcité, let's say secularist, if you want, that means that they are activists in promoting laïcité against religions, which is not at all the real meaning of laïcité or secularism.
Secularism, historically in the French state and the Republic was the separation between church and state, wasn't it? And to push the Catholic Church out of the state affairs,
yes.
Wasn't it?
But that was, first of all, in the history, you have an agreement with the Catholicism, then with the Judaism, I mean, the Jewish community. Now it seems that it could be the turn of the Muslim community. So, but the real meaning of laïcité, is that everybody can have his own faith, live his own faith, but in the public space, you are only one community. That means that you don't have to show your difference, which is completely another system than the one in the United States or in the UK. Or it's not at all the same approach. It's one community is the nation. Nation is full of the same citizen, and if they have some differences like religion, so they have to leave that in their private circle, not to show up with that. That's a bit complicated even to understand for the French people, in the meaning that in some territories, just to please some association, you will allow them to have specific hours for swimming pool for girls in the swimming pool or things like that. It's just because they will get some votes, of course. I think the majors, for instance. But that what I wanted to say is that. Now the laicist trend or wing is trying to use the laicity as an arm, a weapon against Islam. That's now things how they are moving, and it is perceived now abroad, specifically in the Muslim countries, like that. So we are now in that debate, and me on my side, I really try to warn the authorities and the opinion that the republishing of the cartoon, Charlie Hebdo's Prophet Muhammad cartoons, wasn't a very, very threatening message to.
That's very interesting. Addressed. I want to just clarify. I want to be clear, because you make a distinction between the original publication and the republication, and absolutely, you believe that the republication was a provocation.
Yes, I mean, not a provocation, but it doesn't mean freedom of expression in that case. I mean, because, you know, a very small group. I mean, Charlie Hebdo's cartoon have become like the flag of the freedom of expression, which is not so shared within the French opinion. But as they are being victim of a terrorist attack, they being a victim doesn't allow to lose the understanding of the world in which we are.
And why doesn't President Macron just condemn the republishing of the cartoon? Why doesn't he say, look, we understand the sensitivities of the Muslim population. We support the original publication, but republication obviously is causing bloodshed and division within society. Just I'm not going to ban you from publishing them, but it was wrong to publish them. Why won't he take that step? Or do you believe that that's something he shouldn't do, that he should stand up and by supporting free speech, he should support those cartoons no matter what?
Yeah, it's exactly what former President Chirac has done more than 14 years ago, when he just said that he was very angry with the publishing at the time. because that will make the world, the Muslim world, very angry, and they will not understand that. That needs explanation. So what is happening nowadays was very predictable, and but the fact, as I said previously, as Charlie Hebdo has been attacked, they are like sacralized, they are like holy people, you know. That means that you cannot tell them, well, it's not good what you are doing, because we understand you have been victim. So that has impacted the debate, and that really put President Macron in a very complicated solution, as the opposition.
Right. Okay. I wanted to ask you, because the opposition, like Marie Le Pen, who is far right and is by a lot of estimates Islamophobic, is that because he has elections coming up, Macron, he has to play to the far right to some degree. I mean, is that unfair, or do you think that that's what's taking place?
Well, he's between two, track, and also trap, we can say as well. You have the trap of the right, extreme right wing, of course, that is in position now to use what is going on against the Macron's policy. And as well, you have the laicist people. I mean, those people who are a majority in the media or in the, in certain intellectual circle, that say we cannot touch our freedom of expression. If you touch to the cartoon, you will touch our whole value of freedom of expression. And you have a third voice that I do represent, which is, freedom of expression doesn't mean that you have to, humiliate people. And I remember the Obama speech in 2009, when he addressed the Muslim world in Cairo, and telling that when you attack one belief, you just attack the whole of them. So he really addressed a very, very good speech, and I try to not to put it as a model, that what we could do, what the President Macron could do now, instead of having, a military speech, you know, very strong and defensive.
A terror speech, that kind of thing.
Obama at that time was using a very positive speech, and toward the Muslim people, not the Muslim states. So he contributed to give some humanity and depoliticize, if we can say that, the debates on is the Islam compatible with the Republic or the democracy. So
do you think if Macron had been more conciliatory and found more middle ground, rather than making this tough on terror speech, out and said, look, we condemn terror, we condemn what happened in Nice, we condemn violence at any stage, but we also ask for sensitivity to religious symbols that may anger the Muslim population, not as a sign of surrender, but as a sign of inclusion? Do you think that would have taken the temperature down a little bit? And why couldn't he do that? I mean, he must have known what he was doing.
Yeah, sure. You know, differently than Chirac, he doesn't know very well this part of the world. But if you notice, at the beginning, he said something during his campaign, telling that the war in Algeria was, you know, a mistake, and the colonization was a crime of humanity. It was something that very far from his position nowadays. So we can understand that, I'm sure that he really doesn't like the cartoons, those cartoons, but it's too late anyway nowadays, because the consequences, the impact of not only the republication of Charlie Hebdo's cartoon, but also what he said about this radical Islam and what he called the separatism, which is fighting against the community who are living, communities which are living in France, but not in compliance with the French system, a republic. So that has not been well understood and also very well instrumentalized by, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood, Ikhwan Muslimin, and other countries like Turkey, who jumped on the occasion.
Yeah, President Erdogan certainly, called him crazy to some degree, and you have leaders around the world and demonstrations around the world against France now, and Macron really making it out to be that France is against Muslims, even though France has taken in so many Muslims.
Yeah, I think that we are now, I'm really promoting, I advocate the fact that we have to dialogue, explain what is our system, put more value of, what the French Muslim have brought to our success or our country, all positive things that could a bit cool down and recreate some canal of dialogues and respects. And
because right now the divide is growing, and it's just the promise of more bloodshed and more conflict, you think?
There's many consequences. First of all, of course, security consequence on the territory, but also abroad, because the risk is to have simultaneous attacks in France and in another country against French targets, interest or individuals. And the second one is diplomatic. That means that France would not be able to make its voice heard anymore. And thirdly, of course, economical consequences, because some country could choose not to buy some to sign big deals, with the French big companies, because they are French. So we cannot trust anymore French people, and we don't want to have them on our ground. So things like that. So the only thing to do is to at least to hold another narrative about the Muslims in France and the how we consider the Muslim civilization and those things, the counter influence, even some psyops, I don't know, to counter the propaganda that in some country are handled by Ikhwan Muslimin and all the radical trends that France is fighting.
And Giudicelli from the International Intelligence Cluster, and great to talk to you. Thank you for being generous with your time.
Thank you.
Rokia Diallo is a writer and documentary maker in Paris. She does a lot of writing for many different sources, including the Washington Post, and she is a prominent anti-racist campaigner and very prominent in France. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're a Black feminist daughter of Muslim Senegalese and Gambian immigrants, and you grew up in Paris in a suburb there, and you earn your living sort of writing about race in France. And I only say this and draw the attention to the fact that you have a Muslim background, because it's important understanding how Muslims feel right now in France. Can you tell me, you know, you're in touch with the community. What are people saying?
Yes, it's a very difficult time because there have been, from the politicians, constant demands to the Muslim community to say openly that they didn't stand with the terrorists. And the thing is that it's very offensive to say that, because most of the official Muslim organizations have sent their deepest condolences after the attacks and have said how they were standing with the rest of the nation against terrorism. And the idea that Muslims should stand higher than the rest of the population draw a line between us and them, who are supposedly close to extremism and who, if they don't say anything, will be, you know, people could be suspicious against them. So it's kind of difficult. Even myself, as a Muslim journalist, have faced some nasty moments.
You face nasty moments in terms of people lashing out at you and the community?
No. For example, I have been very... I have been one of the people who were very critical against Charlie Hebdo before the attacks. I signed an op-ed in 2011, so it was 4 years before the deadly attacks, to say that to me, the way they were using their cartoons was kind of nurturing, feeding an Islamophobic context. So that op-ed was signed in a context where Charlie Hebdo was already did already face an attack that was not deadly. It was in the night. It was a fire. So I signed that op-ed.
This is before the actual shootings took place in 2015 in their office.
Exactly, offices. It was four years before, and we still don't know who set their local on fire. And the thing is that we were 20 to sign the op-ed, and that I am the only one to be constantly questioned about me, about my signature. And 2 weeks ago, I was in a debate about gender, about feminism, and a very prominent philosopher told me that I was responsible for the shooting. And before saying that, he said, "You are a Muslim black woman and you armed the arms of the terrorists." He said that on a TV channel in front of 1 million people. I was in shock because, you know, I didn't understood the reason for reminding that I was Muslim. And to say that a text that I signed years before the shooting was made me having any relationship with the terrorists. So it really was a major controversy here in France, but it reminded me that besides being a journalist, to some people, I was still a Muslim woman.
Where is the truth between the two, this great division within France? Because the original publication of the cartoons, which resulted in those shootings, you know, obviously all of us stood with France at the time. I was a reporter. I came to Paris and I covered that. And we felt that, you know, obviously that was extreme violence, going after cartoonists in an office and shooting them. And then there was also another attack on a Jewish grocery store. Yes. And people felt terrible and they felt real solidarity with France. And yet there is many people that are uncomfortable with the publishing of these cartoons because they do offend. So where do you either have to be on Macron's side or on the Muslim population side, or do you think most people in France fit somewhere in the middle?
I think that many people are in the middle. Like you have people who understand that we have the right to publish any cartoon. And I understand that. I understand that it's the freedom of speech and you have the right to criticize any religion. The thing is that why are you doing that? Like, I understand the idea that Charlie Hebdo is a humoristic newspaper, and they have a way to use satire to attack people and to make fun of them. But to me, it's my personal conception. When you are power as a newspaper, the purpose is to make fun of those who are in position of power. So constantly targeting Muslims is their right, but I'm not sure about the reason, because Muslim people are already at the bottom of the society. They belong to the poorest fringes of the French society. They face constant discrimination, constant offensive language in the media. So adding on the top of that, offensive cartoons, I don't know how it can help us getting any better.
Tell me, why do you think that President Macron didn't deliver? I mean, he's an intelligent person. Why,
yes.
Why did he not deliver a more measured statement after the beheading of the school teacher? Obviously, it was an emotional moment for him and for France, that violence, again, a terrible act of violence against a teacher who, through educating people about free speech, showed some cartoons, and there is a debate whether he should have or not. But do you think that Macron could have been a little more measured and a little more sensitive to the Muslim population? Why was he not? And did he do that intentionally, do you think, because of the political field in France and elections are in front of them?
I think that Macron is in a very, very tricky position, because those cartoons, as they costed lives, and it was a major trauma in France, the killing in Charlie Hebdo, and then in the Jewish supermarket was a major trauma because it was so horrendous. And so I think that from that time, the cartoons have been the symbol of freedom of speech. And people would say that it is our identity and we need to stand in their defense. And I think that—
But Muslims don't process it that way.
No, like most of the Muslims are not comfortable with the cartoons, but they're like, it's okay. We won't say anything because it's the freedom of speech, but they're not comfortable with that. And there is a small portion of people who are violent, but it's like just some persons. And the thing is that I think that Macron cannot really have a more balanced discourse without—
Do you think he can or cannot?
He can't because it would anger the majority of French people, because I think that most of them think that it is the symbol of our identity of free speech, which I don't think that our free speech only stands in those cartoons, but it has become a kind of symbol of what we stand for. And the fact that so many countries out of France don't understand what we are doing really feed the idea that we are a very particular identity and way of defending freedom of speech. So we need to stand and to defend our French particularism. And it's a trap, because Macron, he cannot say that it's offensive. And at the same time, he cannot say that we need to give up, because it would send a message that, oh, we have lost to terrorism and violence.
I'm Canadian. I'm talking to you from London, but I'm Canadian.
Yes.
My
yes.
Prime Minister Trudeau came out and he said in solidarity with France,
yes.
And in condemning violence, he also said in a press conference, freedom of expression does not come without limits. We owe it to ourselves to act with respect for others and seek not to arbitrarily or unnecessarily injure those with whom we're sharing a society. That's measured.
Yes, that's measured. And I definitely understand what he says. And the thing is that in France, many people commented what he said as him being a coward. You see, so they don't understand that he's trying to bring a whole society together and to make sure that the freedom of some wouldn't be an offense to the others. It's not seen like that. And to me, there is this that we don't really understand what it is to be a minority, and the fact that you cannot just say I'm free to say anything, and that freedom would be offensive to a group that is already on the side of the society. So I feel like we're coming from a very different culture in which the culture of the majority is not seen as dominant, but it's seen as being the norm.
I mean, obviously, they have some history there with the Roman Catholic Church and France's secularism and separation of church and state. But they apparently haven't explained this very well to people like President Erdogan of Turkey, who sees this as, you know, what is Macron's problem with Islam? And nor have they seemed to explain it to their own people, people who have immigrated to France and live there and are French citizens.
I think that people understand because you don't have protests in France against the cartoons. You don't have protests from French Muslims. Most of the organizations and the, you know, religious leaders, they come to try to bring peace to the public sphere. I think that the French Muslims are much more moderate than Muslims from the other countries. But still, they are facing demands to say louder and louder that they are not terrorists, that they are okay with the caricatures, which is, you know, you can just don't care. You can just not care about the caricatures. But I think that there is a difference between what was the situation of France in the early 20th century with the church that was dominant and with Catholicism being the religion of the majority. And now there is no, Islam is not in the same position. It's not threatening the power of the state. And Muslim people are less than 10% of the population. And among them, there are the poorest fringes of the French nation. So it's not the same. There is no threat of Islam, you know, getting over the French state. So it's very different.
Two quick questions. President Erdogan, do you think that was helpful, what he said? Do you think that he thought he's standing up for Muslims, or do you think that he was igniting the situation further in France?
You know, I think is just using that what's going on to make domestic politics, because, you know, we haven't heard him being that loud against China and the way they are treating Uyghurs. So, like, I understand that there is an issue in France, but if you cannot be a president dealing so well with China and not saying anything about the way Muslims are tortured there, and then say that France is your top problem. So I think
and obviously they have a little bit of history, Macron and Erdogan, over Greece. Yes. And the Mediterranean and other differences.
Exactly. And immigration. So I think he's just taking advantage of the outrage against Muslim communities.
Where does this go from here, to wrap this up, do you think? And what do you worry about? Is it going to become more radicalized, and is there going to be more violence? Where does it go from here? It doesn't seem, we've seen this attack in Vienna now. And obviously there's the danger that there isn't more understanding in the Muslim community in France, that there is less, and they feel more discriminated against, and that acts like what has taken place with the school teacher become even more possible, tragically.
It's very concerning, actually, because I can feel that, and with the pandemic, with the lockdown, there is much tension in the French society as well as in many other societies. And the fact that the government is focusing so much on trying to shut down Muslim organizations so quickly makes Muslim people think that they are criminalized for just being openly Muslim and trying to stand for their rights. So on one side, it goes, you know, to fuel the idea that you know, you are not accepted as a Muslim in the French nation. And on the other side, there is this like civilization war rhetoric that makes French, you know, that makes the country having the idea that we are standing alone against another civilization, which is not true. It's much more complex than that.
Well, and as we speak, you know, even here in the United Kingdom now, they've increased the security alert to the top level, and they're worried about attacks here. So it is spreading beyond France's borders. But Rokia Diallo, really a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for being so generous with your time, and it was great to have your thoughts.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup.
And that's our backstory on France and free speech and the crackdown on radical Muslims who have used terror in an attempt to silence what they view as offensive cartoons. Much of this took place while America was consumed with its election and the cliff-edge dramatic vote count. I mean, we can't blame Americans if they tuned out of international news and missed a lot. And I was watching a lot of it too. But usually, U.S. news networks don't cover the world the way they should. That's why we bring you Backstory with Dana Lewis. Please share this podcast, subscribe, and you're welcome to sponsor this podcast. Get in touch. Stay healthy. And I'll talk to you again soon.